There are times when you just don't particularly feel like mowing the lawn or cooking a meal. Sure, it would be great if we could just have dinner with the neighbors sometimes. Well, that actually is one of the benefits of co-housing. Co-housing communities are not communes, but they do feature some shared amenities like eating areas. And co-housing can be especially attractive to seniors who want to spend their remaining years in their own homes, but not too far away from other people and potential assistance. Today's guest is all about co-housing. Charles Durrett, or Chuck, is the architect and designer at the Co-Housing Company, and he lives in co-housing himself in Nevada City, California. Chuck, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
For the folks who haven't heard the concept before, what are some of the basic features of co-housing?
Well, the basic four features of co-housing is that the neighborhoods themselves are planned with the future residents. That's very much a watershed, and very much, I think, part and parcel to the success of co-housing. A couple years ago, one of our projects got Neighborhood of the Year in the USA and new Neighborhood of the Year. And, I mean, it was designed and planned by folks, just regular folks, not developers, but people who really just factored in their real values and real life experiences. So it made a big difference. Second thing is that it's designed to facilitate a sense of community over time, you know, long after that honeymoon has worn off, after they planned it themselves. And then thirdly, it's co-housing typically has extensive common facilities. That is a place that really supplements the private house and brings people together, including common dinner on occasion. Nothing facilitates community long term like breaking bread with your neighbor. And then fourthly, it's entirely self-managed. There's no management company or anybody else responsible other than the residents themselves. And unlike a condo, there are some similarities in that financially they're similar, but that's about where it ends. And in co-housing, everybody's on the board, for example. So, and typically the decisions are made by consensus. Which sounds scary, but it's not.
Well, I was going to ask you about the sessions to produce the plans, ultimately, that are built upon. I mean, how spirited those can get.
How what can they get?
How spirited they can
get.
Oh,
spirited. Yeah, you know, it's funny. The first co-housing community we did in Davis, California, there was only one argument in the context of the entire six-month planning process, and that was over color. So, of course, if something's is subjective like that, it could lend itself to something like that. So subsequently, we have just been, as architects, been choosing the color, and the groups have been fine with the colors, and frankly, the colors, as everybody would agree, are much better. So we try to set the group up for success where they're debating, you know, the issues that matter, number of parking places, distance from the houses to the parking, common facilities, etc., and not debating subjective questions.
So when you talk about parking facilities, are co-housing units often set up in such a way so that the parking is on the perimeter, so it's sort of like a people mall?
Yeah, the mall doesn't sound great, but the mall part doesn't sound great. But, they're designed to feel like old, you know, fashioned villages, if you would. I mean, it is interesting that what the group comes up with is timeless in that, you know, what is happening in between the houses is young children running from house to house in the case of intergenerational co-housing, very elderly friendly, people just walking and talking, bicycle friendly, simply not car friendly. There's some segment of the physical form that we have decided to not make predominantly auto-oriented, and that would be the interior of a co-housing. The cars are kept to the periphery so people can be people in between the houses as opposed to, you know, operators of vehicles.
And what are some of the major features of senior co-housing? What are some of the things that are unique to co-housing designed for older people?
Well, the major thing is that it's designed for older people. I mean, intergenerational co-housing, I live in a 34-unit intergenerational co-housing, as you mentioned, and, you know, we have 20 seniors, but we have 37 children, and for the most part, you know, we are oriented towards the children. You know, it's just the way it works. I don't know why an intergenerational, but I haven't seen an intergenerational yet who can, you know, very much accommodate children and equally accommodate seniors. But senior co-housing is very much accommodated towards seniors. I mean, they basically peeled off and said, look, if we're going to take care of ourselves to the waning moments, we need to take charge of the situation here. And so, for example, you know, we've never designed a senior co-housing where there wasn't extensive facilities in the common house for a caregiver to be able to move into the project and take care of Mrs. Johnson for 8 hours a week and Mr. Smith for 6 hours a week, as required to be able to keep them in the neighborhood and not ship them off to some institution like assisted care or similar.
Chuck Durrett's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's with the co-housing company. We're talking about senior co-housing. They're giving a workshop next week about senior co-housing in Nevada City, California. Join us now on the Jefferson Exchange with questions and comments, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You've built several senior co-housing setups already, haven't you, around
the region? Eight built in the U.S. now, and several under construction. I just spent yesterday in Mountain View, where we're about 90% finished with a new co-housing community. And the day before that, I was in Port Townsend, Washington, you know, working with a brand new group getting set up to initiate a new senior co-housing community.
There are some terms I noticed that you use in senior co-housing, co-care and co-healing. I think the co-care you've already established, having a caretaker potentially on site. Right. What about co-healing? What's that about?
Well, you know, there's so many seniors largely just need someone to talk to. I mean, it's kind of crazy. My nephew is a caregiver of seniors in Eugene, Oregon, and he often talks about the absolutely worst part of his job is he, you know, takes meals over to seniors or delivers their medicine or something. But then when he leaves, too often, far too frequently, the senior will start crying or get really upset because what that senior really needs is a company and someone to talk to. I mean, it's just quite frustrating if we're not institutionalizing seniors, we're isolating them, and it's just upside down, in my opinion. So setting up a community-like setting so that it's easy for seniors to talk about the issues of the day with each other. I mean, supposedly the average senior in America is watching over 6 hours of TV a day. There's a lot of pathologies that emanate from that behavior. Seniors get a lot of, you know, violent ideas in their head based on somebody, you know, being mugged in Kansas, and then they start getting more and more paranoid, etc. So they need real people around to be with. And it's not mystery. We've just managed to get everybody separated. And, you know, we've managed to generate the myth of, you know, happiness in my own house to the bitter end. They're going to take me out feet first and all the rest. And too often that doesn't really happen. You know, mom needs to have some care, and there's nobody around to give her some care. So we need to find a nursing home or assisted care that she can live in. And then she ends up living there for 5 or 6 years until she just can't stand it anymore and dies. So co-healing is, you know, everybody's got issues, especially when they get older. You know, I didn't get that book written that I wanted to get written. You know, I my kids are a pain. My parents were a pain. So it's just it's good old-fashioned conversation, basically.
Is there a point in a person's health where co-housing is not an option anymore? I mean, or do some of the co-housing developments you've assisted with or helped put together, do they include right up to end-of-life care?
Well, they do and they don't. They don't in that they're certainly not nursing care by any stretch of the imagination. However, you know, we had 20 seniors move in to our co-housing 10 years ago. Many of them were old, including over 90. And we've had 4 people die at home in this co-housing community. None of them went anywhere, and we haven't had any of them move off to anywhere yet. Though that does happen in a lot of senior co-housing communities where, you know, mom has dementia, and she was able to stay in the co-housing maybe 8 or 9 years longer than she would have been able to stay in her own house, or 10 years longer than she would have been able to stay in her own house. But because I've certainly seen that actually very successfully, they were able to be incorporated and not a difficult situation at all. But sometimes, you know, it's more than the co-housing can accommodate. After that, the kids aren't around to take care of them either. And they move off to some kind of memory care of some sort. It does happen, and it has happened in the U.S., and it's, you know, there's a bigger history for senior co-housing in Denmark. There's about 75 there in a population of only 5 million people. So there's a lot of history, and the two books I've written about senior co-housing, you know, I lay out those stories profusely.
I remember those, and I remember you getting inspired by being in Denmark and seeing the senior co-housing there. Given that people do die and therefore vacancies are created, I mean, so then you're going to have people who are not in on the original planning and developing of the co-housing complex coming into that. I mean, and how is that process handled? Does a board vote on them like a co-op or something?
No, interesting enough, they don't. I mean, you know, for example, where I live, and typical senior co-housing is just senior co-housing right down the road from us in Grass Valley, California. You know, there's dinner in the common house 5 nights a week, and people agree to figure out a way to co-cook for each other. Either they're a cook or an assistant based on their capabilities. And you know, there's some obligations like that that are designed to integrate people into a high-functioning community. And yet, if you don't want to do that stuff, you know, there's a whole world out there for people who don't want to cook together. So, you know, if any of that stuff cramps your style, then you just choose brand X, basically.
Right.
And you wouldn't do it. So usually people choose the community. The community doesn't choose them. That said, they often do ask you to read the book, Senior Co-Housing, before you move in. Then you get an idea. Come to a work day or something like that and come to a common dinner, you know, some orientation. But most people who move into senior co-housing after the fact have been following that project for a long time, are usually guests of other people who, you know, who live there and visit, may have been a friend of the person who died, actually.
Huh. Let's take a call. We have Donna and Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Chuck Durrett. We're talking senior co-housing.
Yes, I... wonder if he's familiar with a model so similar in Ashland, only on a bigger scale, called Mountain Meadows Retirement Community. I found this when we were looking into the co-housing in the Bay Area, and so I'm somewhat familiar with them.
So the Mountain Meadows model, but it is more of an assisted care kind of model as things progress.
No. It's built to live through the end of your life. Everything is accessible. We own it. We run it. There are some leased or rentals available, but it's a very active and quite a wide span. And also younger people, as long as I think it's 10 or 20%, can be under the age of 55. So we have quite an age span. But the model, I don't see much difference, except we don't cook for each other in a formal sense.
Got it. Okay, more informal. All right, thanks for that, Don. I appreciate telling us the story about that. Chuck, this sounds similar. It's similar to co-housing, but not yet, though.
Well, I don't know how similar it is or isn't, but my first question for Donna would be, did they plan the project together? Because basically I find that such a huge watershed, and especially in terms of how often the common facilities get used. I mean, whether it very, very much reflects the needs, wants, and desires of the future residents based on them putting them on the table, or if there's common buildings that are often empty, not underutilized, and all the rest. But I have no experience with that particular project.
All right. Now, if people can't get down to Nevada City for the sessions next week, you do go on the road a fair amount, don't you, and talk up co-housing?
I do. Mm-hmm. We just spent 3 days in Port Townsend, for example, and we have a project that's in the planning phase in Eugene, Oregon. It's actually already designed and at the permitting process. It's actually intergenerational. There's probably, of those 28 houses, there's probably at least 10 of them that are seniors and highly motivated to live in senior in a supportive neighborhood. I mean, and people often ask me, what's the difference between intergenerational, or why would anybody do a senior housing, co-housing, when they could live in intergenerational? And it comes back to that first point I made, that in the senior co-housing, they simply find, you know, a lot of things that they can do for each other that sets them up for success in their waning years
compared to intergenerational, which is ends up being designed very much for young families and very little accommodation for seniors.
All right, so there is a difference there. Chuck Durrett, again, is with the Co-Housing Company. He's been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange before and probably will be again. Chuck, thanks for talking to us about senior co-housing today.
Great pleasure, Jeff. Thank you guys very much. Thank Megan.
All right, we'll do. Take care.